I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I have some updates from yesterday. I had trouble yesterday on a couple of names, and it was difficult for me. The name I was thinking of, the author's name is actually George Grant. His book was Grand Illusions: The Legacy of Planned Parenthood, and you can actually you can find it online, download it, and get it, you know, a PDF copy for free. What I mentioned is I thought I met him. It wasn't there because the other person I couldn't think of was Joel Bells. My wife's dad's dad, and his wife are the senior members. They're long past, but of what became called the Cross Clan. And so there is a biannual meeting, gathering of a whole bunch of people of the Cross Clan. I've been to three or four of them because my wife, everybody gets a number. My wife is number 67, and I'm number 142 of the Cross Clan. And Joel Bells is number 85. And he started God's World Publishers or Publications many years ago, and the popular magazine was World Magazine. And so we did go visit him several times in Asheville, not Asheboro. The gentleman, George Grant, and this is not, it wasn't there. It's now vague in my mind. I worked with a gentleman just north of Charlotte in the place just north of Charlotte. You know, it's been so long, and I don't remember his name, and I'm not going to bother trying to find it. He was a well-to-do fellow and highly active in the U.S. Taxpayers Party, which is now called the Constitution Party, which is basically an attempt to have a Christian influence in politics. And I was heavily active and in that, and I represented, he funded it, because again, he had money coming out of his ears, which didn't help him because he died in a plane crash. But he had money coming out of his ears, and he handed me a bunch of money over time, somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 over time to do various things for the effort, including flying to Pittsburgh to represent the state of North Carolina at a U.S. Taxpayer Party convention. This is where I met Daniel New, who I still have contact with. Everybody else is long gone. But apparently, I think this is correct, George Grant ended up with a relationship with him, and even did some things by actually flying in to Charlotte and to that area. And I think it was him. He had a falling out because of theological issue. So that relationship ended. And I think on that issue, if I recall, I don't remember what the issue was directly, but after I heard about it, it was kind of like, yeah, I'm on George Grant's side, so I'm going to get... anyway. Somebody else showed up and became part of, post the death of this gentleman, started working there in north of Charlotte, and his name is Flip Benham. And post his arrival there, I did have a couple email dialogues with him. That's about as far as it ever went. And he's the one that is rather noted because he remains a staunch pro-life advocate, and of course that's why we were on the same page. Except he was very pushy with in Texas at the time with a particular pro-abortion group. And again, the story hits me really hard, because he was part of the active, "You're wrong, don't do this stuff." And one of the people who was working at this abortion clinic was a lady by the name of Norma McCorvey. And the story that really hits me hard is all the pro-life activists didn't reach her, but a little girl who befriended her and said, "You don't have to go to hell, Miss Norma." That story has hit me really hard. And she started an organization called Roe No More, because she's Jane Roe in Roe v. Wade. And Flip Benham baptized her in a pool. I have a picture of that. And then, of course, some time later, she became a Roman Catholic, which I do think that was kind of politics, because, you know, she was then a prize to get. And it's interesting to me, again, the timing, because I did a series. First was an article, then a series of videos about is Manning the next McCorvey, referring to Private Bradley Manning, who leaked the video, which we now know as collateral murder. And, you know, saying that it's not hammering him, but is it someone going to get to him? And it's him with the idea, "You don't have to go to hell, Bradley." even though he wants to be called Chelsea. So I wrote a couple of those articles. I did a couple of videos. And then I think it was after the second one, I was curious. And I was going to do a follow-up. So I checked on Norma McCorvey. That weekend she died. And I thought the timing was just kind of like, wow. Anyway, that issue has remained rather emotional for me. Again, this was the baseball bat that the Lord used on my head to bring me to him. And as Norma McCorvey would say, I say, I'm 100% pro-life. Anyway, so I wanted to correct that, give you some updated information, but I want to talk about Galatians 6. But one other thing is, you know, there is this tension going on in Canada, and in it's overflowed to other places. And I saw a woman in New York protesting. I saw a picture of her, and I thought it was fantastic. She had the style of the Black Lives Matter sign. And I thought it was wonderful because she was a black lady, which fits. She had the sign up and it said, unvaccinated lives matter. And I thought that was superb. That was superb. If a white person would have done that, it would have been, your cultural appropriation. When she did it, beautiful. Especially a black woman, it was even more important than a black man. I think that was beautiful. One other thing, because I was... one thing led to another, and I found out, because I used to be a little bit more, especially when I was more actively doing videos, one of the three platforms I would use is Brighteon. It used to be called Real.Video, now it's Brighteon. And I did my D-dimer video, the pre-vaccinated should take a D-dimer test. And, you know, it's, you know, see, one of the reasons why I think Brighteon is losing its credibility is every time you view something there, it counts it as 10 views. That's why if you look, you'll see all the view counts. They're all a multiple of 10. I've actually contacted them about that and said, yes, we have a bug we got to take care of. That was a year ago. It's fraud. It's not a bug, it's fraud. But, you know, This is the first time I've actually seen this happen. Maybe it's happened to other things. I don't know. But somebody took my D-dimer video and made their own copy of it and put it out there. And so mine has a whopping 15 views. It shows as 150, but it's only 15 views. And with them, they have 11. So, I mean, not much. But still, that encouraged me that someone went through the effort of taking my video, make a copy of it to make it theirs. That was a subtle encouragement. So all that to say, let's look at Galatians 6, because it's I would suggest extremely relevant today, and I had a long dialogue on this, and this is why I want to go into this. I have the LSV in front of me. You see how large letters I have written you with my own hand. You know, because this is where we get this inference that. Someone else typically writes what Paul dictates, whereas this party wrote specifically. There is a passage where someone writes, but anyway. But here it's clear. How large letters? Is he trying to make a statement saying this part's important? I don't know. But, I mean, obviously it's a reasonable suggestion. And considering the weight of this, and these are the closing words of Galatians. and the verse that really is important is 12. As many are willing to make a good appearance in the flesh, these constrain you to be circumcised, not only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, for neither do the circumcised keep the law themselves, but they wish you to be circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. What is this saying? Extremely relevant today, not just in circumcision. They want to make a good appearance. And this is... I check. The word there is starts with you, which is good, and then pro, kind of forward and front, and where we get the word optics. So they are, when they say make a good appearance, literally meaning, I want to make sure that what is seen in front looks good. And one of the things, because what it reminds me of is I made the argument a while back. Especially when you hear the arguments about we're not under the law kind of thing, and it's kind of like, really? Because there's so much context in that, but without going too deep in that, one of the issues is you say, okay, I'm going to look at like the Ten Commandments and say, all right, you shall not murder. Well, should we say we're not under, so we can? You shall not commit adultery. Well, can we? Because we're not under the law. You shall not steal. No, clearly, those things are still as applicable today as ever. The issue is the penalty has been paid for. But the thing that I pointed out is you get to the last one, you shall not covet. And the issue with stealing, murder, adultery, that's seen physically. Coveting is inside. I mean, obviously, you can manifest it physically, but it's inside. I could covet things, and no one will ever know because it's in my heart. And that is one of the that's one of the things that I think is so important, because when we look at the Galatians 6:12, make the good appearance. That's the I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to murder, I'm not going to commit adultery. But it's not anything to address, I'm not going to covet. Nor does it address pride. Because if I want to show my significance that I got you to do something, to be part of the club. And now that you're part of the club, you're a notch in my belt saying, I got him. Aren't I special? That's my pride speaking, isn't it? So, as many as are willing to make a good appearance in the flesh, these constrain you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For neither do those circumcised I should read this in the ESV since it's it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. That fundamental core, I need to get you, basically, I would suggest, I need to get you into the club so I can boast that I got you in the club. I remember, especially early on in my first many years as a follower of Christ, I was listening to a variety of people, studying, reading, things of that nature, and I heard a whole lot of people say, we went to this event and we saw so many people saved. Sometimes it's a few, you know, and I've heard people talk, oh yes, we had hundreds of salvations, or you know, it's kind of like, because that's the notch in the belt. And I would suggest it is complete, utter hogwash. Because they are trying to boast in your flesh. And that's exactly what that was. But, you know, he goes on, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor circumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk in this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. I like the last line. It's just important to me. But just a little, because I do tangents, verse 16, LSV again, as many as walk by this rule, peace on them and kindness and on the Israel of God. Because when I see words like this, and especially the entire verse, look at it in context and consider the issue that I've discussed, that the word Israel has multiple meanings. Again, going to the Romans 9:6, not all who are descended of Israel are Israel. So there are two different meanings to the word just in that verse alone. And we see it used in multiple meanings in the Old Testament. That's abundantly clear. You know, the person Jacob, his descendants, the northern kingdom, for example. So, from now on, let no one, and as many as walk by this rule, I would suggest what he's talking about is the elect, those who are walking by this rule. The rule, the new creation. Anyway, as many as walk by this rule, peace on them. So he's asking for peace on the elect, I will contend, and kindness on the elect, and on the Israel of God. Israel, as I pointed out, one context, which I suggest is consistent with Romans 9:6, is the elect. Or more specifically in this case, if we use it that way, the elect of God. Because obviously, those who are truly elect are elect only because of God. So this is very specific, the elect of God. Because again, so many words, you use similar words or different words to mean the same thing in different ways. And so I suggest what we see here is on the elect of God. When we see the Israel of God, it is the same thing. But that's a tangent. The important thing. I had it for a day or two, I think, and I watched it today. You know, I watch when I eat. There's a group called the Duran, and I find them very, very interesting, very, very insightful. These are people that go in depth. They are, you know, especially what they're, you know, it's Alexander McCruse, whatever, and Alex Christoforou. Both of them are Greek. The Alexander lives in London. The other Alex lives in Greece. And for some time, he was also in Crete, apparently. Cyprus. So I don't know much of the details, but I feel a slight bond to them because, you know, the one guy in London, the other guy is in Athens, and I've been both places. So, you know, it's kind of like, because in my travels around the world, you know, I've never been to Berlin because that was East Germany at the time. I've never been to Moscow, Peking, or Beijing. I've never been to Mexico City, which is rather close, or Ontario, or any places of that nature. But I have been to London and Athens, and of course, this. But anyway, they did a video called "Trudeau Comes Out of Hiding." Excuse me, that's the older one. That's the newer one, excuse me. This is from a few days ago. Trudeau rejects dialogue. Ottawa mayor declares state of emergency. Okay, the important part is Trudeau rejects dialogue. And I listened to the discussion and I recommend it. It's 15 minutes or so. Because of what they talked about. Because what they talked about was the world stage. And I suggest, well, we see that. You can be seen in the institutional church stage, in the family stage, and directly described in Galatians 6. So, one of the things that they pointed out is Trudeau is the, you know, the lead character in Canada. He is the prime minister. And of course, you know, he's been tagged as catching Coward 19 because he went into hiding when these... all these trucks came, thousands upon thousands of trucks, truckers, and all the fanfare of the people being supportive of them and so forth. And it's fascinating to watch different news media as they portray it, because some will show, you know, again, the one that I found fascinating, because who did I see it on? I think it was probably Al Jazeera. Where they, because there was one gentleman who walked through the crowd with a Nazi flag. So the one, again, the one report showed these are the kind of people who were at this gathering, and they showed the guy with the Nazi flag. No interaction with him or anything of that nature. This just showed the, you know, two, 3 seconds of him just to get the point across. Look, these are Nazis. I watched somebody else. The same person, what happened? A whole bunch of the crowd went to this guy, shouted him down. He had a mask completely covering his identity and whatnot, and they got rid of him. They asked him to leave, and he left because he knew he was unsafe. He was not welcome there. So the suggestion was he was a provocateur. Do these things happen right there in Canada? I think it was Ottawa, however many years ago, is where there was the I think it was G whatever meeting at the time. I don't know, it was G7, G6, G8, G20, GEIAO. I don't know, whatever it was, a big meeting, and there were some protests and there was a bunch of things, including mass roundups of people and things of that nature. And the one thing that was caught, and it was shown by a whole bunch of people, there were two or three protesters trying to promote violence. And they were called out. One gentleman in particular could easily be seen. He called them out. Stop this. Don't do this. And then he pursued it a little further because they did have a mask on and so forth. He pursued it a little further. And then other people came towards, you've got to stop this, the promotion of violence. And they ran for cover. They ran for cover behind the police lines. And they ended up on the ground with the police protecting them. And there's this noted photo. They were wearing these same boots as the police. They were provocateurs. They were there, government employees, there to cause violence. And from what I understand, later the government admitted it. We see that happening in the United States many times. The FBI is known for this. It's happened several other times in other events in Canada, the provocateurs. And probably one of the most interesting ones to me was in Ukraine many years ago, during one of the unfortunate events there. You had two different crowds, and there was protests, but there wasn't violence. And then you had snipers show up. And what they did is they shot people on both sides to cause both sides to be angry with each other. It was provoking violence by killing people. It didn't go over well, but it worked. It caused the violence. Anyway, so what you have now in Canada is the Prime Minister, who is suffering from COVID-19, and it's been suggested that what he needs to do is meet with the protesters. It seems rational. If you want to calm things down, you communicate with these people. Instead, he sent the police to do things like make it illegal to honk your horn. I mean, that law was put in place. I think it was a judge did that. Go and seize their gas. And so they actually had was evening, whatnot, a roundup, and they actually took people's gas cans. What right did they have to do that? They had the guns. And so they're forcing things. Actual conversation? No, they won't. The government won't with them. They're putting pressure on instead of saying, let's talk. The other thing that's fascinating is some of the news media, I heard a report saying that some of the truckers went to a place that serves food to the homeless and went and insisted on getting food from them. So they make them look real bad. But then you actually go there and look. I mean, there are huge, huge numbers of people who bring in food, who've set up places to cook, prepare food, and hand it out to anybody who comes by. They're handing out food and water in large volumes to lots of people. They're not leeches. They're doing the loving thing. The other thing I found fascinating is, because I saw an interview with one guy, what was he doing? In his truck, he's picking up the trash and hauling it out. You know, one of the things that was so fascinating when I went to the Stand in the Gap event in 1997, I think it was, in Washington, D.C., one of the things that was said about that event, where you had 1 million-plus Christian men there in Washington, D.C., and after we left, people noted, we left the place clean. And I have no doubt, unless something violent happens, provoked by the police, they'll leave that place clean. You know, it really is amazing. But the point of all this is, why can't Trudeau meet with these people or his representatives? The point that they made, the two Alexes, Alex and Alexander, what they made was, if they do that, then the leaderships in other countries will see, okay, If you back down, because right now the big protest is in Canada, if you back down, there are similar protests in the United States, in Brazil, and in several places in Europe, and in Australia. If Trudeau backs down, then the other leaders might have to do the same. So Trudeau is under serious pressure not to back down. And one way not to back down is you don't negotiate. You know, and of course they go into talking about democracy and whatnot, which, you know, that's a whole other issue. But what you see is, no, if I negotiate with you, I risk my power, my position, my prestige. That's what we see happening in Canada. That's what we see happening in the institutional church and in families. So let's go back to Galatians 6. So I get it. Okay. The verse 12. As many as are willing to make a good appearance in the flesh, these constrain you to be circumcised. I'll read that in the ESV. In those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised only in order that they may be not persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are uncircumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They want to say, look, we got you to do this. Aren't we special? Trudeau wants to get the truckers to say, he called them the fringe minority. They don't trust the science. I mean, he said all the typical hogwash lines. He said it with a straight face. It was so stupid. It was ridiculous. He said it with a straight face. And, you know, because he's definitely an actor. He's trying to make a good appearance, not to the people of Canada, but to his, you know, the people who he's trying to bow down to. One of the things they point out, because I've heard this discussed before, within the United States especially, we see the billionaire. there's a bunch of them. The guy from Hungary. Great. I've always had trouble with names, and it seems it's only getting worse. George Soros. Wow. At least most of the time I finally come up with him. He's got a lot of money, and what he does is he has stated he wants to destroy so much of the U.S. and so forth. I mean, but what he does is he influences what are called the down ballot candidates. He buys, he gets people in position. So you have the figureheads, but you give them now with the so-called down ballot, the district attorneys, judges and things of that nature. You get people that will support the people that you want to in order to support their ideology. And George Soros is apparently a huge funder of this. I mean, huge. But we see he does that mostly in the U.S. He does it other places too. But you see it a lot in the U.S. Who's doing it on the world stage? Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. And years ago, they announced, and I've heard this before, and it was echoed in this video by Alexander, I believe, said it, that one of the greatest successes they've had in getting that secondary level of people in line with their doctrine was in Canada. So now you have Trudeau at the top and the people beneath him. You know, because you can hear where Trudeau has announced that we have an opportunity for a great reset. I think that's his exact words. And the idea to build back better. President Biden has said the same thing, the Build Back Better idea. Those are the words of Klaus Schwab. Build Back Better and the Great Reset is Klaus Schwab, is the World Economic Forum. That's where it comes from. You know, the Great Reset. It's 2030. I own nothing and I've never been happier. I mean, that video is right there on the World Economic Forum's website. That is their objective. Because if you don't own anything, then you can be controlled. You know, when I go to the farmer's market, I've heard more than one say, you know, when something happens, I got the farm, so I mean, I'm fine. But those who are dependent aren't. That's the objective. You get people dependent. And obviously, if you own nothing, the only way for you to survive each day is if you're obedient. And as they point out, part of the objective behind this, you know, we call it right now the vaccine passport. It's the global ID. And people will say, oh, it's sensational and whatnot. You know, Bill Gates is trying to chip you and whatnot. The evidence is overwhelming because some of the techniques have been used. Again, is what they call microneedles. It's the idea of a kind of a patch that's put on you that has a bunch of needles. And the fundamental point of that, identification. Because obviously there's a whole bunch of people, what is it, Norway or Sweden or whatever, where it's been well accepted, where because, you know, in your hand you have that the one spot where there's a soft spot here where there's some room to put in a little, it's typically called the grain of rice size item that will stay there and not be too uncomfortable to you. And a whole lot of people have got that, and it's for identification. And then, of course, in Canada, especially in Israel and a whole lot of other countries in Europe, restaurants and whatnot, you have to have the identification indicating that you're vaccinated in order to go into restaurants and a lot of public arenas and whatnot. If you don't have that, you can't go in. You'll see some of the huge protests in Europe, no green pass. The green pass is the a vaccine passport. And so you have to continue to push and push and push in order to get this. Why do you want the vaccine passport? It's just a vehicle to get the idea of what we see right now in place in China, where everyone is identified and has a social credit score, the Sesame credits. I mean, it's there. It's not something we can say, oh, and that hogwash. It's there. It's happening. And, you know, it's if you don't have a particular score, you can't get on a plane or on a train in China today. It's been that way for years in China. And I've seen people who strive to do everything they can to get a high score. In the U.S., we're trained by having a good credit rating. It's the same thing. You're being prepped for the same stuff. You need the vaccine passport because this way you can get into sporting events and so forth without having to, so you won't hurt grandma in the process. It's all based on lies. But why do you want to do this? It's... Sorry, I was going to do short. I'm really bad at doing short. It is the same thing with the Bitcoin idea. Bitcoin is a fraud. But what does it do? It gets a whole bunch of people say, I want this because I can make money on it. You're a money changer. But what you've done is you've got a whole bunch of people rallying around it. So you've got a whole bunch of people used to the technology. And those who are not so interested, but they end up using it. So it becomes familiar in the culture. And then you can switch to central bank issued digital currencies. And now the central banks control the currencies because we got used to it through Bitcoin. So people made billions of dollars on it. They can collapse that easily. I mean, that's been demonstrated. You can collapse that without a problem. But what happens then? My money is electronic. And it's like in China right now. It's not that I can't get on a plane, but I can't buy food. You think it's coming? Why, yes, it is. And so all these steps, like it's happening in Canada right now, what you will see is they will try to do as much as they can in order to impose as much as possible, and then maybe things will calm down for a while. But they made progress, because a lot of people are used to, I would show you the example of cell phone, but I'm sorry, I can't. People are used to that addictive device, their cell phone, and they have their passports because they have this neat application and so forth. And people have come to rely on the fact that I don't trust you because you're not vaccinated. So we built that in the world stage. We see that, as I point out, the evangelism idea. Again, evangelism is the idea of being a messenger of good news. Literally, it's not go and make conversions. That is a distortion of the word. It's to be a messenger of good news. Check the word. You angelos. You go with words to speak. That's what it means. It's not go get a conversion. Go get a conversion is Matthew 23, and it's not looked at very well by our Creator. But you're making a good showing in the flesh. Aren't I special? I got a whole bunch of people to make a confession of faith, which means nothing. But I've done well, haven't I? Send me money. Give me praise. It's exactly what it is. Take that. Bring it one step down. Just as Trudeau can't talk with the truckers, just as the institutional church can't talk with me. Again, I continue to send them my postcards and emails and whatnot. No response. Why? They can't talk with me like Trudeau can't talk with the truckers. Take that, apply it to the family. You try to reconcile a family. Because, yes, I see this, and obviously I'm very public about my efforts, but I know others who are striving to do the same kind of thing. And it's, no, close the doors. I'm not going to talk with you. So what you see on the world stage in Canada, what you see in the Christian community stage, is what you see in the family stage. It's the same kind of thing. I won't talk with you. I won't open the door of communications because I need to make a good showing. And if you're going to act like Paul and say, it's not because I brought you to Christ, but Christ brought you to him, I don't get any brownie points. If you start telling me that our trust is in the Lord and not in our club, I don't get any brownie points. I need to persecute you. Gee, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. They don't want to face to the issue of, if I follow Christ and proclaim obedience to him and act in love, I may be persecuted for the cross of Christ. What's that verse that somebody keeps quoting? 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to get the brownie points. Brownie points, isn't that great? Everybody says I'm wonderful. since I've done so well on my short video, this is a problem. And just like I don't think the truckers are going to give up for a long time, they're going to be forced to give up, or quite possibly Trudeau will be removed. One of the two. They'll either be forced to give up or Trudeau is going to have to step down. That's probably, yeah, maybe something else, but that's probably one of the two likely scenarios that's going to come out of this. The institutional church, they're going to fight and fight and fight. And they, you know, that in general around the world, they're going to win. However, the question is, will there be at least one within institutional church leadership at MetaView or Christian Covenant or Covenant Presbyterian who may say, okay, you're trying to reconcile with me, I'll reconcile with you? Or is there someone in my family who might do the same? That's where my preference is. But one of the things I've been doing, if you just happen to go online and go to Kozlowski.org, Kozlowski.org/promise, you'll see, oh, purity, they're one until death. A wonderful postcard. And, you know, the most recent 9 postcards are right there on the front page, and it shifts 6 days a week. And as of February 4th, Friday, the image, I have the images of the cards, but you have to click on the image and you'll see the image of the card. But I use another image on the front page to reference this. And Fridays to Chris Bitterman, Saturdays to Render Keynes, and yesterday's, Mondays, to George Sayor, shows one of these barrier kind of things. You know, the image I got actually had "Do not enter" written on these divider things. Can't think of a word. Gee, isn't this happening a lot? But anyway, so I use that with these three gentlemen. Today's went to Covenant Presbyterian Church, and tomorrow the intent is to go to MetaView Presbyterian Church. And I use that same image, except there's a difference. I put their logo behind it. It's the do not enter idea. And like I say, the plan is to do that for MetaView. What do the cards say? Again, these are all handwritten. So, on all of them, say the same thing. Can you explain if Matthew 7, 21 through 23 does or does not apply to you? Let me read that, shall I? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The important thing here, and you can see this here and in, is it Luke? Or whatever. He's not talking about the world. Didn't we not prophesy in your name? He's talking about the followers of the outward followers of Christ. Those who are in the club. And he said, I never knew you. I think it's Luke. It's right there with the wide gate and the narrow gate. The context of that is those who proclaim, who say they are a follower of Christ, and those who are followers of Christ. Those who claim Christ are going in the wide gate. Those who follow Christ are going in the narrow gate. Straight gate for King James. So it's not trying to compare you to the world. It's compare you to the other members of the club. And when we get to Galatians 6, I would suggest you see a consistency here. Those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. I'm in the club! I'm in the club! Aren't I special? Don't I deserve wonderful things? Like health and wealth? Like a position in the institution? So I can have a name plaque on my door and it, you know, maybe, you know, some of the churches where you have the leadership sit on the stage and kind of like, oh, we're here and we're part of the important people because we're sitting on the stage where our big name pastor is speaking and we're important. Wow. Or you come and we'll gather together in a back room and we'll have our coat and ties on. You can come visit us. Yeah, yeah, we're special. And we'll make much of you, so you'll make much of us. This is a problem, isn't it? I wanted to do something short. I'm really doing bad about this, but I'm trying to inspire my family. I want to prepare them. I want to prepare others. Being a follower of Christ is not a joyride. It is not a way to gain position, to gain power. It is to prepare you to be able to say, Lord, we only did our duty. That's Luke. Luke 17? Yes. When you've done all that you've done, that you're commanded, we say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done what is our duty. That should be the attitude of a follower of Christ. We haven't earned anything. We only do our duty. We can never make God our debtor. He's our creator. Every joy, every blessing is his gift. It's never earned. I want to instill this in my family. And there are other things to discuss about how I intend to get louder. But it's ridiculous. I hope, please, dwell on the end of Galatians. Let it sink in. And notice how that applies on the world stage as we're seeing right now in Canada. We've seen it many times over and we'll see it again. It applies in the institutional church setting. Again, that will continue. And what happens is more often than not, the institutional church will win the day, but they won't win the eternity because of it. And the objective is to win the eternity. Not because you've earned it, but since all you are doing is being the unworthy servant in obedience to Christ, doing your duty is to follow him, to love. So do it in your own family. And the last point, when you seek dialogue, when you seek reconciliation, someone, and someone says, yes, I want to, but either I will only do it if we can do it privately behind closed doors, or I'm willing to do it publicly, whichever it is, you do what you can to make it easy on them. You walk with them. You encourage them. You call them near. Call them near. What would that be in the Greek? Parakaleo, to call near, to encourage, to comfort. And then in doing that, you end up with hopefully a bond, a mutual respect, a mutual love. And you start by encouraging them. And then in time, you see that encouragement coming back. Sum parakaleo, together, call near to mutually encourage, to mutually comfort. That's the goal. That's obedience to Christ for you and them. And you do whatever you can to make sure it's, I told you, you should have done this earlier, and now you finally done it. Boy, you took a long time. None of that. None of that. You've come to me. We've reconciled. Whatever part of the cost you're going to pay for this, put it on me. I don't want you to pay anything for this. I want you to come and find only blessing by reconciliation with me. Not a cost. I will take the cost on. Because I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not after revenge. Someone who truly wants to reconcile is going to act like truckers and feed people for free and clean up the streets. Or put their hand out to somebody and say, I'll walk with you beyond all the stuff that needs to sink in, please. The objective is reconciliation, not retribution. Somebody's been saying that for years. Who was that? So I'll stop with that. But of course, I will close with my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, who I've committed my life to, who's committed her life to me. I love you, and I want you back.